Moncrief on News Talk.
Only a few decades ago, the tattoo was regarded as a bit vulgar, even frightening. The sort of thing that only sailors and criminals went in for. But was that always the case? Matt Lodder is the author of Tattoos, The Untold History of a Modern Art. Good afternoon, Matt.
Hello, how are you doing?
Not too bad. So what's the earliest example of a tattoo?
Well, the oldest piece of skin that we have with a tattoo in it is about 5,500 years old, early Bronze Age. Although we reckon tattooing goes back probably to at least 45 and maybe 100,000 years ago. So it's been around for a while.
Okay. And those 5,000-year-old tattoos that have been found, is this, you know, love and hate on their knuckles or what was it?
Not quite. These are on a guy who was dug up in the Austro-Italian Alps in the border between Italy and Austria. And he's covered in kind of little tally marks. He gets called Otzi the Iceman. And he's got little crosses and dashes that are a bit mysterious on his elbows, his knees, his lower back. And there's a kind of prevailing theory is that it was for some kind of medical or magical purposes, you know, either to ease pain or to kind of, you know, some ritual performance to ease the pain.
Ah, right. Okay, so it had a meaning, though we can't divine what that particular meaning was. And so to kind of scoot forward a few centuries, the arrival of tattoos in the Western world, where did that come from and who did it come with?
Well, so there is a persistent myth that there was no tattooing in Europe at all until Europeans discovered it in the Pacific, so encounters with people in New Zealand or Fiji or Samoa. But actually, you know, there's pretty good evidence of tattooing in the British Isles, for example, even in the, you know, 1600s. And my book starts off with the story of two guys who were claiming to be professional tattooers, at least, when they were arrested for housebreaking in London in 1719.
Wow.
So we have people claiming to be professional tattooers about 40 years before Captain Cook went to Tahiti.
And so in the 1700s, who would this tattooer's clients have been?
So it's hard to tell, but they were tattooing, these guys claimed to be tattooing basically religious pilgrimage marks. So Christian pilgrims to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and other kind of pilgrimage sites in Italy, for example, had been getting crosses and images of saints and things starting in the late 1500s. And these guys in London sort of claimed to, you know, if you didn't want the bother of going all the way to Jerusalem in 1719, you could get a Jerusalem cross tattoo back home, which I rather sort of defeats the point, if you ask me, of a pilgrimage tattoo, if you're not going to go on the pilgrimage. But there you go.
Yeah. And so was it always something that was indulged in by the lower orders, for want of a better phrase, or did the aristocracy ever dabble with it?
Yeah, so we've had, you know, there's lots of sailors and lots of criminals around, but the reason we have professional tattooing, so the reason that we have a, you know, tattoo business really of a modern kind is really because rich people wanted to get tattooed. Starting in about 1860 or so in the US and about 1870 in Britain, we end up with, almost recognisably modern trade, right, where people are, they want to get tattooed. Tattooing is very trendy at the time because Europeans have just seen Japanese tattooing for the first time and think that's very wonderful. And again, don't want the hassle of going all the way to Japan. And so, yeah, it becomes viable for the first time for people who'd, you know, probably learned to tattoo in the army or the navy throughout the 19th century to make a living tattooing, you know, rich people, including you know, several kings of England, for example. So George V was tattooed, Edward VII was tattooed, lots and lots of very rich and wealthy people, surprisingly.
What parts of their body were they getting tattooed? Because I missed it. I've never seen a painting or an illustration of a person from that period showing a tattoo.
No, well, there's some in my book, but of course, most of these guys, and it is predominantly, although not exclusively, men, are getting tattooed under their clothing, which is part of the reason I think this idea of, you know, this idea that rich people didn't get tattooed persisted for so long is because the tattoos we saw were on guys and gals who'd roll their sleeves up and wear short skirts and be a bit kind of, you know, on the edges of society or working manual jobs. If your bank manager or your king was tattooed, you wouldn't see it, you know. So arms, legs, and including, you know, whole backs, whole fronts. There's some pictures in my book of a guy who was a son of an MP and went on to be the county treasurer of Berkshire, for example, who's covered in a full front and back piece in about 1899. Huh. So, yeah, lots going on underneath people's clothing.
Yeah. So the notion then that... was it a very 20th century notion that there was, you know, it was something to do with the underclass, that it was just sailors and kind of generally dodgy types who got tattoos?
Yeah, and it does vary from place to place. I mean, the history in England, for example, is a bit posher than the history in Ireland, for example. So the first professional tattooers in Ireland are working around about 1901 Bizarrely, one of them is in Cork, in Fermoy, at the barracks, a guy called John Clark in 1901, and a guy called Joe Kilbride, who I do talk about in my book, who was tattooing in the Dublin Quay. So, in Ireland and in America, in New York, for example, tattooing was a bit more associated with sailors than it was over here in England. But in England, you know, the real idea that it's a very rough and undignified practice doesn't really kick in until after the Second World War. I mean, it's kind of... You know, it's up and down, and the upper classes lose a bit of interest in the 1920s. But there's a bit of a trend again in the 1920s and 30s between the wars. But the real kind of sense that, you know, my parents would have had, for example, as baby boomers, of tattooing being pretty kind of unsavory, really comes in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah. So did that produce a subculture of people specifically around having a tattoo?
Yeah. I mean, there are lots of even attempts in Britain and the US to ban tattooing in the 1960s and 70s. Tattooing gets banned in New York, for example, in 1961, and wasn't legalized there till the late 90s. And in response to that, a group of tattooers and their clients, again, mainly men, although not exclusively, like, really sort of said, look, we want to defend this art form. We want to defend this practice that we love, and we're going to band together and we're going to kind of advocate for ourselves, both on a kind of like legal social level. They, you know, they were sort of trying to say, look, we promise we won't tattoo children, we won't tattoo people's faces, but also, you know, to make claims for themselves as artists. And that's something that happened through the 50s and 60s that led to, you know, in some way the boom that happened in the 70s and 80s and continues to the present day, right?
Yeah, but there did something happen. Because there was a boom there, I suppose, in the 70s on, as you say, but it seemed to be, or am I incorrect on this, it was kind of still a young person's thing, and there was still this, well, you're not going to be happier when you have that when you're 50. but now 50-year-olds are queuing up to get tattoos, so it seems to have permeated everywhere.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, there's a bit of a kind of visual, a sort of, archival lens problem here, right, where we hear a lot of stories in the papers about kids getting tattooed, but as I said, if your bank manager had a back piece, you wouldn't necessarily know. But it is definitely the case. I mean, a lot of people sort of think that the 70s or the late 70s is a real kind of like renaissance, that it comes back out of nowhere. My account is really that tattooing grows in popularity pretty steadily starting in the mid-1950s. And yeah, it's undeniable now that tattooing's bigger and more fashionable and more visible than ever before. And yes, more kinds of people are doing it. Although, you know, one of the things I collect is headlines saying, you'll never guess who's getting tattooed now, and tattooing's a hot new trend now. And they often talk about, you know, women getting tattooed or older people. And I've got examples of that for every decade for over 100 years. You know, in 1926, so more or less 100 years ago, Vanity Fair in New York said, tattooing has passed from the savage to the sailor, from the sailor to the landsman, and is now to be found beneath many a tailored shirt, right? And that was like 100 years ago. So, yeah, we're living in a kind of boom time for tattooing now, but the past is not quite as distant as we might imagine, I suppose, is the best way to put it.
Well, I look forward to interviewing someone in 5 years' time about the hot new fashion of tattooing then. Matt, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Matt Lauder there, an art historian at the University of Essex and the author of Tattoos, the Untold History of a Modern Art.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.